Okay, Chizkuni, Parshas Toldos. So we have at the beginning of the Parsha that Yitzchak marries Rivka when he is 40 years old. So Rashi famously tells us that he married Rivka when she was 3 years old, because she was born when at the Akedah, which is when he was 37, and he waited 3 years till she was Roy Labia, and then he married her. That's the famous Rashi. So the Chizkuni brings a Sefri that this cannot be. The Sefri says that there are three people who lived the same amount of years: Rivka, Kahus, and Ben-Azai, and they all lived 133 years old. Okay, if that Sefri is right, that Rivka lived 133 years, so he makes the Cheshbon, it can't be she was 3 years old when she got married. He goes through the whole long Cheshbon based on Rashi, that, you know, when she gave birth, and how long Yaakov lived, and you can look it up if you want all the details. I'll just take my word for it. He goes through the Cheshbon of how it should come out that if you go with Rashi's timeline, that Rivka would have died when she was 122, based on when we know Yaakov found out that she died, and when Yaakov was born, and the whole Cheshbon. If she was 3 years old when she got married, she would have died at 122. And this Sefri says she died at 133, which means it's off. The Cheshbon is off by 11 years. So the Chizkuni therefore says it's not, he disagrees with Rashi, or at least based on the Sefri, it's not correct. And he married Rivka when she was 14, which is a lot more standard, right? So she was 14, and he says as a proof to this, besides the Sefri, it has to come out in Cheshbon that she was 14 years old when she got married. It's also, it sounds like that in the Pasuk. It says when Eliezer was trying to leave with her, so right, Lavan said, Nikrala Na'ara v'nishala espia. Na'ara is, you don't call a 3 year old a Na'ara. Nikrala Na'ara v'nishala espia, I mean she was older, so she, that's what he says. She was 14. Anyway, that's his try. He's not the only one. The Chizkuni, also the Mizrahi, says the same thing, that she was 14. Okay, so now you know there are other opinions. Okay, so then it says that Yitzchak davened for Rivka because she was an Akara, she could not have kids. Why was it that Hashem made her an Akara? Not the reason probably you heard of. The Chizkuni says it was because, if you recall, when she was leaving Eliezer, so Lavan and, you know, the family gave her a bacha, Achosinu Atayil Alfei Revava, you know, you should have kids. So Hashem wanted everyone to know it had nothing to do with them. They didn't help anything. She was an Akara, and then Yitzchak davened, and then she gave birth. So everyone should know that it came because of Yitzchak's tefillas, and their tefillas didn't do anything. Okay, then then Yaakov and Esav are born, and we're told Esav was an Ishio Deat Zayed. He was a hunter. So the Chizkuni just comments, Umnaso Beramos, that a hunter is a Ramai type of job. You want to take that job if you're a Ramai, a liar, a cheat, because he says that's what you do when you're setting up traps. You're trapping people. So if that's your Parnasa, then it's a Parnasa for a person who traps others. So that, not positive. Not a positive trait, I mean. Okay, then we have the story of Esav selling the Bechorah to Yaakov. And Yaakov says, Michra kayom es Bechoras chali, sell to me like today or today your Bechorah. So there's different pshatim, what it means, kayom. So the Chizkuni gives different pshatim that take kayom as today, as in today only. Why today only? So he explains, you know, I think we all know that joke about the Kohen, that somebody comes into a shul where they don't know much, and the guy tells the rabbi that he wants to be a Kohen, and the rabbi says, well, you can't just become a Kohen, you have to be born a Kohen. So he says, no, rabbi, I really need to be a Kohen, I'll pay anything to be a Kohen, I'll pay $1 million. Make me a Kohen. So this was a not Orthodox shul. So the guy says, all right, if you pay, give me $1 million, fine, you're a Kohen. Why do you want to be a Kohen so bad? He said, because my father was a Kohen, my grandfather was a Kohen. Okay, that's the old joke we probably all know. But think about that. We know the Bechorah, or at least a big part of the Bechorah for Yaakov, was the working in the Beis HaMikdash, the Bechor. Remember, the Bechors were supposed to do the Avodah. Til Chet Egel, it was the firstborns that did the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. That was a big part of what he was buying. So how do you sell that? You can't sell that, you know? It's a religious right. What do you mean? You're a Bechor or you're not a Bechor. How do you sell the rights? Can you sell your right to be a Kohen? Like, what does that even mean? You can't sell the right to be a Kohen. So That's Kayom. That's what the Chizkuni says. Today you could do it. Because Avoda is not knowing yet, there's no such concept as Avoda yet, therefore today you could sell your Bechorah. But once it becomes a Beis HaMikdash or a Mishkan or whatever, and there's real Avoda going, then it can't be sold anymore. Okay, so what's Esav's response to this? He says, Hinei Anochi Holech Lamos V'Lamazeli Bechorah. Esav's response is, I don't need this Bechorah. Hinei Ani Holech Lamos. So what do you mean by, here I'm going to die, what do I need, I might as well sell it for a bunch of lentils, because what do I need the Bechorah for? Hinei Ani Holech Lamos. What does that mean? The Chizkuni says, a couple of pshatim. One of them is that this whole thing of Yerusha doing avoda in the Beis HaMikdash and Eretz Yisrael, this is all going to have to happen after I die. I don't need this. It's not going to help me. It helps my kids. What about me? Don't help him. So that's what he said. Hinei Anochi Alech Lamos. I'm going to die before this anyway. I don't need it. Or another pshat he brings. This one's more famous. That he's Hinei Anochi Alech Lamos because he was a hunter, so he could get killed all the time. So he has a good chance of not living anyway. It's not worth it. Okay, then we have, after that story of selling the Bechorah, we have Hashem appearing to Yitzchak and telling him to not go down to Mitzrayim. And he tells him, we have a lot of kids. And we'll give you all these lands, the lands of Israel. The Chizkuni just says a nice remez that there are 31 kings that Yehoshua conquered in Eretz Israel. So that's Nasati Lacha Es Kol HaRatos HaKel Aleph Lamed, or Ha'el, I guess. So the Aleph Lamed is that's the number 31. So he was saying all these lands, all 31 of them. Okay, then the Chizkuni points out something very interesting. Whatever. In Parshas Chayesara, it refers in Perak Chavdal, a Pasuk design, it says, V'hanara tovas mar'em ma'od. She was tovas mar'em ma'od, exceedingly beautiful. And then in Parshas Toldos, in Perak Chavav, Pasuk Zayin, it says that she was tovas mara. That Yitzchak didn't want to say it was his wife because they were afraid they would take her, ki tovas mara hi. It doesn't say tovas mara ma'od. The Chizkuni actually notices that in Chayesar it called her Tovas Marem Ma'od, exceedingly beautiful. And in Toldos it just says she was beautiful. Now if you'd have asked me, I would have said, okay, whatever, Lav Dafka. The other part that was talking about how it was focusing on how beautiful she is, it already said that, so it doesn't have to repeat every last detail here. That's what I would have said. Anyway, the Chizkuni says, no, something changed. You know what changed? She gave birth to twins in between. So she wasn't as exceedingly beautiful. She was still beautiful, just not exceedingly beautiful, because that can happen. Okay. Okay, then eventually Avimelech figures out that it's really his wife, and he complains to Yitzchak, and he says, Vayomer Avimelech Mazos, Esisilano, Kimat Shachavachan Ames Esishtecha. Someone, maybe referring to himself, almost was with your wife, Hey Vesa Aleinu Asham, and you have brought on us an Asham. So the Chizkuni says something interesting. You know why an Asham? An Asham is what you bring if you are over on a Shua. And, for example, if someone denied that they had something in their possessions, and then they swore about it, and then they admitted that they had sworn falsely, so they bring an Asham. So you see, you bring an Asham for swearing falsely. And like this, they had sworn. Rabbi Melech had sworn, Im Tishkor Li Lini Lanechti, they made a bris. So he would have violated his shvuah to do something bad to Avram's children. So that's why he would have been an asham. It's a cute shot. Anyway, so they kick out Yitzchak and they say, Leich me'imanu. So the Chizkuni says the reason why they kicked Yitzchak out is because his land was doing amazing and everywhere else was affected by the Rav. Where Yitzchak was, things were wonderful. But where the rest of them were was affected by the famine. And here Yitzchak is having his me'asharim. So they said leave, and their idea was they were going to take his land and they'd get his land. But then, of course, as soon as he left, it went south because it was only because of Yitzchak was there. So, I mean, that's what happened. Okay, then later on in Perchav Pasuk Lamed Hey, we have the very famous line of Esav getting married. So he marries Yehudas and Basmas, and they're all of the Avodah Zarah, and it says Vatiyena Moras Ruach. LeYitzchak and LeRivka, they were bothersome to Yitzchak, and they made the marasuach sad, upset, annoyed, whatever, angry. To Yitzchak and Rivka, and it says it in that order, to Yitzchak and Rivka, and says the Chizkuni, that was because it bothered, in that order, because it bothered Yitzchak more than it bothered Rivka. Again, this is based on a medrash, that Rivka grew up with Avodah Zarah, so it didn't bother her as much as it bothered Yitzchak, which is, of course, a big Musar word. Also, he says, it comes to explain to you a very practical thing, that had they not been Maris Ruach, then they would have been around. And then Yaakov's whole thing, where he dressed up and all that to get the Bechora, so Esav was out, you know, getting, hunting for food, but his wives would have been around. So, that's why he tells you this story. His wives were not around. They didn't get along. So the wives were not around, that's how Yaakov was able to do his thing while Esav was out hunting. Anyway, so like we said, the Avodah Zarah seemed to have bothered Yitzchak more than Rivka, because Rivka grew up with it. And furthermore, remember it says that Yitzchak's eyes, one of the explanations, Yitzchak got blind. It was from the Avodah Zarah, the Ashan, the smoke from the Avodah Zarah that went and harmed Yitzchak's eyes. And why didn't it harm Rivka's eyes? So he said different things. The Chizkuni says, because she was used to it. She grew up with it. It was different. Okay, now we have the story with the Bechora story. So Yitzchak sends Esav to go hunt food for him so he can give him a bracha. So the Chizkuni asks, how could it be that Yitzchak was going to eat stuff that Esav prepared? It would come out that even Beshogeg, remember Yitzchak, at least from the Pesukim, sounds like he thought Esav was a good guy. But he would have had eaten Isser, because Esav was not a good guy. He was off the derech, so Shechita wouldn't have been a good Shechita. So he would have been eating Isser Beshogeg. And we know that even Pinchas ben Yair would never happen to him that he would eat. His animal would never eat Isser. And certainly Pinchas ben Yair wouldn't eat Isser. So how could Hashem bring it that Yitzchak would have eaten Isser? So he says, the Chizkuni, and we know Yitzchak did eat ki tzayid bepiv, right? One of the pshatim is that Esau was tzayid bepiv. He would give his hunts to Yitzchak to eat. So the Chizkuni says, originally, Esav was not off the derech. Esav was started off being from till he, when he got older, he went off. So it must be, says the Chizkuni, that he only ate from his stuff when he was still from, we'll call it. And then when he became not from, that's when he, like in this story, Yaakov came first. Hashem made it that he would not eat from his stuff. Of course, after the Bechora, presumably he figured out that he was not a good guy. And so he never ate from his stuff, from his food after he became a Meshum, but it was only from beforehand. Okay, so then Rivka has this plan that Yaakov's going to dress up like Esav and get the Bechora. And Yaakov is concerned about it. So Rivka says, "Alai kelelascha b'ni." So what did that mean? So the Chizkuni says that Yaakov, don't be worried, Yitzchak's going to know. If he figures that out, he's going to know that I put you up to it. He'll know. Maybe because Yaakov is an ishtam. The way he says it, because Rivka was always in front of Yaakov, he'll know that I set you up to this. So don't worry, he'll curse me, not you. Anyway, so then Yaakov comes in and says, Anochi Esav Bechorecha. So was he allowed to lie? So we know, yes, he was allowed to lie under those circumstances. Or perhaps he didn't lie. And what he was saying was, the Chizkuni says, Ani Esav Bechorecha, meaning I'm like Esav your Bechor, because Esav sold his Bechor to me. So I'm like Esav the Bechor. And here he says, please eat from this food, Ba'avor Tavarchani Navshecha, so you could bless me. So now that doesn't sound nice for a nice way for Yaakov to talk. Yaakov did Kibud Avim only so that he should get a bracha. He was like Ovid al-Manasa Kala Pras. So the Chizkuni says, no, Chizkuni was saying that Yaakov thought to himself, I should talk like Esav. Bavor Tavarchani Navshecha. It doesn't really sound like the Chizkuni made it sound like the way I just said, that it was a not nice way of talking, but more that it was, you know, those were the things that Yitzchak had said to Esav, and therefore Esav, or in this case really Yaakov, was just repeating it back to him so he would know he was there and his father wouldn't suspect him because he knows that that's what the father had said. And then, this is fascinating, it says that he brought him wine. You know why? That's right. So that he wouldn't be so, sharp that he could figure out what's going on. That's what the Chizkuni says. Okay, he gives the bracha, Yitzchak gives the bracha to Yaakov. Yaakov leaves. Esav comes immediately afterwards, to the minute. So the Chizkuni says right away. And Yitzchak figures out what happened. And it says, Vayecher Yitzchak Charon de Gedola. And Rashi says he saw Gehenim open up below him. Now, what the Chizkuni understands that to mean is that Yitzchak was about to curse Yaakov for doing what he did. And when he saw, when he was about to curse him, he saw Gehenim open up below him. Meaning he saw that if that was absolutely not right to curse Yaakov, like Hashem was masking with him. That's what it means. He was going to curse Yaakov, and when he was about to curse Yaakov, that's when he saw Gehenim open up before him. Okay, then towards the end of the parasha, we have Yitzchak sends Yaakov to Lavan, and it says, to Lavan ben Besuel Harami, brother of Rivka, mother of Yaakov and Esav. So Rashi there says, mother of Yaakov and Esav, what does that have to do with anything? I almost ended up saying that Rivka was the mother of Yaakov and Esav. Rashi says he doesn't know what it's for. So the Chizkuni says it's trying to teach you, in case you were wondering, how could it be that someone's got two parents like Yitzchak and Rivka could put out an Esav? How could Esav have come from such tzaddikim like Yitzchak and Rivka? So it's telling you, because there was someone else, the Chazal tell us, when you marry a woman, look at her brother, because the kids will likely turn out like the brother. So the brother of the girl. So here it's telling you, he sent him to Besuel Harami, Lavan ben Besuel Harami, which was the brother of Rivka, Aim Yaakov Esav. So if you're wondering how it could happen, it's because there was some, bad stuff in the family, and that's how it could happen that Esav could come out of that. Okay, we'll stop here.